Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Vault Dwellers, Wastelanders, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is the patron chat for the end of, is September. It's almost Spooktober. I'm excited to get together again with our patrons and talk about, actually, this episode's going to be about some very sad things. Things that made us cry, things that really bummed us out, storylines, situations that, hit us real hard. And with me this week, we have a bunch of our patrons. As usual, I'm going to go through and read out all the names. And on the count of three, you're all going to make the sound that you made when you were so sad. Maybe that's a crying sound. Maybe it's not. We'll find out. Welcome back to a bunch of these individuals. Lil Green, Pumpkin King, Silas, Darth Odin, AK Spartan, Nova, and Betty Butcher. Welcome back to the show. All right, get ready to unmute yourselves. Here we go. One, two, three. Wow, that's such a sad combination of sounds. Oh man, we're already bumming. Everybody else is like going to be crying at home. Nova's here also. Nova's popping in and out. People are popping in and out. I don't know what's going on. The Zoom meeting's on fire. But hey, it's another one of these episodes. Welcome back, everybody. Who would like to kick us off? Who has a story from playing one of the Fallout games that really hit you sideways? Real bummer of a situation. Something that happened in the game, a storyline, anything like that. Who would like to start us off? Anybody? Lil Green. Lil Green's ready to go. Okay.
I think the one character in Fallout that bums me out the most, Harold.
Harold. Okay, yeah, I did an episode on Harold recently.
Yes, but like his like entire like storyline just kind of like bums me out, because like if I remember right from your from the episode, like he was just trying to like do better in the wasteland and it just didn't go right for him.
Yeah, I mean, he starts out as a guy who ends up in a difficult situation. He tries to help a bunch of other people out. He ends up wandering the wasteland. Eventually the stick in his head grows into a full-on tree and he's stuck in the tree or whatever. Yeah. And then there's the difficulty of deciding what to do with him in Fallout 3 when you finally meet him. Like, do you put him out of his misery? Do you actually, like, it's a rough situation. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and like, for like, considering like how long he was in that situation, it's just I can't see myself just being stuck in one spot, not being able to do anything for myself or just do anything.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Maintaining
Sad and scares me a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So do you remember the first time you met Howard? Do you remember in Fallout 3, like, wondering what was going on with him? Or, like, encountering a person that's a tree and be just like, what's going on here?
Yeah, yeah. Like if, mind you, like, I was, like, in high school when I first played this. So it's been a long time. God, it's almost been 20 years. but like, I'm just like sitting here because like I was brand new to the Fallout universe when I played 3, so I had no idea what the game and the lore was about. But like, I come to this guy who is just a tree, and I'm just like, what is this? And I start going. I vaguely remember going through the dialogue options. I'm like, oh, this is like really sad, and he just wants to die.
Yes.
So like, yes. It's like, I'm pretty sure I didn't care about like replanting things. I'm like, nah, this guy needs to be put out of his misery, because
yeah, like, keep him alive for the better of everyone else, or give him what he wants and let him finally rest.
Yeah, so I let him finally rest because that's something I want someone to do for myself.
Yeah, I feel like I had the same decision, although you're right, it is very hard to remember back to that time. I also think, so Razgriz in chat says, I remember actually Rosgriz. Meeting Razgriz Is that the best way to pronounce that? Razgriz, whatever. says
another video game.
I actually remember meeting Harold in Fallout 1, and I have a feeling that like some people have that memory, right? Because they played those original Fallout games. But I think most people got into Fallout come 3 or New Vegas or 4, right? And then discovered later on, they're like, oh, this is a character that came from the other ones. And like, I know I wasn't aware of that when I played Fallout 3 because I hadn't played the first two. So, yeah. He's a bummer of a situation. I think this is probably one of the top ones on my list for sure. Let's open this up. What did the rest of you all think? Did you guys realize how tragic this was when you met him initially? Anybody want to chime in? I hear a few different people. Betty, you, go ahead and chime in. We'll start with you. And Lil, if you don't mind muting your mic unless you're talking, because we'll get other sounds coming in. Go ahead, Betty.
I think the saddest part is that the tree minders, or I don't even remember what they're called, they don't really care about his like concerns or his feelings at all, of like what he wants to do. And that's like the saddest part, because I don't know, it's like he just keeps trying to communicate what he wants. Like, obviously he wants to assisted suicide, I guess, but it's just, that part's just extremely, extremely like heartbreaking.
I wonder if there's an analogy there for the way we treat nature, you know, like trees and plants in general. Like, even if they had personalities and can tell us what they wanted, we'd still probably just chop them down and use them for the resources, you know, like that kind of thing, maybe. Nova, did you want to chime in?
Yeah, I was going to say that he, like, his entire life was kind of just one, you know, unfortunate series of events after another, until he eventually kind of like, he got immortality in a way that that's kind of similar to super mutants, but the same, that allowed him to actually keep his intelligence and he didn't become a roid rage monster. But at the same time, though, he almost had a cancer that was slowly overtaking him.
Yeah.
That made him, you know, literally rooted him to the ground. And he got to a point where he literally couldn't do anything except exist. And then a cult developed around him, but all he wanted to do was pass on, because he traveled from one side of America to the other and had seen probably more than anybody else in the United States. And just imagine, like, we've seen three, we've seen New Vegas, we've seen DC, we've seen Boston, we've seen Appalachia, we've seen the entirety of California as well. And just all the depressing sights and sounds and scenery that he has to experience, and not to mention surviving all of that, it probably would greatly dishearten you, and you just wouldn't have the will to live after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things that comes up a lot in fiction, where it's like eternal life is kind of a curse. Like, humans, we're just like, psychologically, we're not built to just keep on existing. And although a lot of us have a fear of death, the idea of constantly living forever also seems terrifying when you really think about it, because what else is new, even in a context where like it's our own world, let alone, you know, the wasteland and everything's falling apart and everybody's out to kill you. So yeah, interesting points. I think that it's kind of a warning story on a few different levels. Pumpkin, do you want to chime in about this one?
Yeah, sorry, give me a second. I'm sitting next to a microwave.
You're fine. Go ahead.
His was tragic because of all the different reasons of him being stuck, him having the thing in his head. But like, he was trying to do right. I agree with everybody. That's what I'm saying. Everybody's making a really good point. It's also sad if like the different ways you can help him.
Right. The options you're given are none of them are the good one. Right. They're all gray.
Yeah, that's really it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, this was a good one, Lil Green. Good one to start us off with. Thanks for starting us off with that. Who would like to go next? Who has another situation they'd like to share that really bummed them out? Nova?
I was going to choose Randall Clark from Honest Hearts. He is also known as the survivor and the father. Mm-hmm. It's very sad and interesting story all in one. You know, he is a U.S. Army soldier who had been deployed to Alaska and was on leave, or no, not to Alaska, I mean to Canada, and was on leave at home when the bombs fell. And he was driving to driving to Zion National Park, and he could see in his rearview mirrors the multiple bright flashes of megaton class nuclear weapons going off. And like next to him was an old couple that he had to put out of their misery because they were flash blinded by the nuclear explosions. So he had to do that as his first action in the post-apocalypse was killing, like mercy killing an old lady and her husband, because they wouldn't be able to survive in the nuclear wasteland, let alone blind and going deaf and probably hobbling around because they're 70 something years old.
So they weren't going to survive out there on their own no matter what.
He's putting out their misery, but like he knew in the back of his head that, oh my god, everything had just changed for me, my wife and child, newborn child, like less than a year old, are dead in Salt Lake City, and all I can do now is I can just go forward to Zion National Canyon or National Park and try make a life for myself there, because I can't go back to Salt Lake City because it's a nuclear wasteland right now. Mm-hmm. Just been bombed, and I need shelter, because he knew that the black rain was going to start, the atomic winter, a nuclear winter was going to set in very soon, and so he had to go find shelter. And so he existed for about a year in Zion Canyon, just scavenging off of the equipment left behind by the National Geological Survey teams that had to abandon that, and just merely surviving just by cave water condensation and seeing that happen before he ventured back, trekking 70 something miles, 80 miles, whatever it is, through the new wasteland back to Salt Lake City, Utah, just to see if he could find anything. And he basically gave up when he got there, but then he found his second coming, or his second wind, when he realized that if he dies there, so does the memory of his kid and his wife. And so he has to go on another day. He has to go on to try and make something of the new world. And so he went back to Zion Canyon. But while he was there, the survivors from Mexico came up and he helped save them. So he found a new calling as kind of just a mysterious stranger who was going to just help people however he could, but then they were murdered and cannibalized by survivors of Vault 22. Right.
It always goes bad. Yeah.
And so the people he just found and was making a connection with, even though there was a language barrier, he was like, oh, okay, these are my new friends. I'm going to try and just like,
I have purpose again.
I have purpose just helping them, and then they get eaten.
Yeah.
So he kind of fights a solo guerrilla war using who was that? He scavenged a set of Marine armor, of Marine desert armor from R.B. Vickers' corpse, I suppose, and along with his 12.7 by 42 Beowulf service rifle. And so he was using those to wage a guerrilla war against the Vault 22 survivors when he found a new family out of the carnage with that lady. I don't remember her name, but like he found a new family with her. He saved her because first of all, getting killed in a trap.
Sylvie
might have been. Yeah, I have it open right here, but I think
it might have been Sylvie. Yeah, this is one of those stories I haven't thought about in a very long time. But you're doing a good job giving us a concise synopsis.
And so he saved her not just from the rest of people from 22 who at that point were going mad with hunger and disease and and the fauna that was trying to hunt them down, but also from his own bear trap that she stepped in. And so she patched her up, allowed her to live another day. They fell in love. She got pregnant and then died at childbirth along with their newborn child.
It's just, he keeps being tragic. Yeah,
it does. But from that though, again, he was at the edge. He was going to give up. But then from that, though, kids just magically appear from the garden, I guess, which my dogs are barking downstairs. Anyways, the kids just magically appear. And so he all of a sudden realizes, I do have a purpose on this earth. I do have meaning. And that was to protect people, even though my last four attempts actually failed.
Right.
Five, if you include the United States, which, you know,
he's like the nuked. Abe Lincoln of Fallout. Like, I failed. I finally become president. But yeah. Except he's not a president here. He's just taking care of kids. He's old at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. But here, though, he becomes the original father. Suck it, Sean. And he actually creates something that exists for the next 200 years. And that would be the Sorrows tribe. He gives the children that have wandered into the canyon, 20 something or 30 something in total, survival lessons just by leaving them books here, leaving them holotapes there or messages here, leaving them food and medicine they found in the surrounding area.
Right.
Yeah, leaving notes.
Like their mysterious protector and teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he became the father, but unintentionally also killed some of them with the traps that he had made for the Vault 22 people. So, but that's besides the point, though, which kind of works into their mythos. And so into their mythos they eventually create around him, and then when Graham and whoever the other Mormon comes along, they think of him and Silva as Joseph and Mary, and their
right
child as Jesus, who he talked about because he was slowly divulging more details to what he thought of as his family, as his children. And then he slowly eventually slow down because he was getting older and older. And at 70, he peacefully passed away at Fallen Rocks Cave, I think. Mm-hmm. Or no, not Fallen Rocks. He peacefully passed away at the Arch. And from that, he finally created something that had lasted and something that is quite beautiful, in my opinion.
Man, the Fallout New Vegas, the Oblivion team, the people who, carried over from the original Fallout series to New Vegas and then onto Oblivion. They just do tragedy so well. Their situation is like their version of the Wasteland is just so much more harsh and like, ugh. But it is one of those stories, right? Where like at some point you're just going to give up, right? And then he doesn't. And then it's like, well, what about this time? And then no, there's something else to live for. It's a testament to human spirit, I guess. You could say that.
Yeah.
Did anybody else want to chime in about this one? Do you guys remember this? You come across his like skeleton in New Vegas.
His story, like, it's always intrigued me. I love his armor is the one I always choose, but it's the story behind his character's story. It's always just sad because it's one family after another until he finally decides, what if I just I protect them without getting involved?
Right. From a distance. Right.
Yeah. And that's one of my favorite parts about it, is it brings a folkloric style to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It does have that kind of mythological quality, like folklore kind of thing. And a lot of these really good stories from these games have that same kind of feeling. So yeah, that's a good one. Thanks for that synopsis, Nova. Yeah, another very tragic one, another one worth crying about. Who would like to go next? Silas, what do you think? What hit you so sad, made you so sad, hit you sideways?
So one of the main things that I can think of, because I've recently played through Fallout 4, there are two specific things that I can think of that aren't necessarily explained well, but they are hinted at. One of them is part of West Everett Estates going through and, killing all them super mutants in that encampment. There's it's a house that has a bunker underneath, and you can find holotypes all over that explain, find the kids, bring them down here, you know, tell him what needs to happen and this is how to get in and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you get down to the bunker and you find, you know, graves for all the kids and the parents. And then there's also another one that I can't remember exactly where, but it's a similar type of thing. And when you finally come on the end graves, there's a in a bunker, there's two graves that are for the kids, and then the parents are skeletons on a bed nearby.
Yeah, kind of that more situational storytelling kind of thing where you realize how tragic this must have been for the people, even though you don't actually get to interact with them very much.
Yeah, and Fallout does a really good job at that. Of even though you didn't have a named character, or even though you didn't know who they were, there's still a lot of story that can be found and reflected upon within it.
Yeah, I think in those situations, you can kind of, because part of them being so vague is that you can put yourself in the shoes of the situation. You can see the tragedy and the difficult decisions they had to make and the fact that they didn't make it, or the idea that, I mean, just these fundamentally difficult topics of like having to bury a child, or, you know, having to deal with a spouse who's not going to make it and this, and you've got to go on, or whatever the version of the story is, right? And we get a lot of those in the Fallout games. For as wacky as it gets real dark at the same time. It goes both directions. So, yeah. Anybody else want to chime in on this one? Pumpkin?
So, the one with the two graves and the parents laying on the cot nearby, that one always did hit me, because it wasn't just the fact of they lost their kids. It was the fact of they did so much to prevent losing their family, that such a small detail, because of the fact of it was lack of oxygen that was their demise. Which is horrible. Total, like, in my opinion, that's like
suffocation.
One of my worst ways to go out.
Yeah.
In that slow, it's sad because of it goes from we'll be safe, we'll be okay, to stupid ventilation or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing that got us. All the things that could go wrong, and that's the thing that did it. Yeah. That's man, we got to cheer up. This, the topic of this episode is very sad. Anybody else have any thoughts on this one? Yeah, Silas, dark stuff, dude. thanks for bumming us out. I'm going to have to say that every single time.
I think there's one more aspect to this story that you forgot about. The mother I think it was West Everett Estates. The mother was at the hospital, and you could find her side of the story at I forget what was the hospital in downtown Boston with the vertebrae crash through it. I forget what it is, but you can actually hear her side of the story, and she is like begging a nurse or one of her friends to go find her husband and bring this message to him.
Oh, yeah. I'm not super familiar with this one off the top of my head, but Yeah, that's the other thing that's so fun about these, is when they have like other parts of the story that you can find in other places, and you're like, oh, this connects to that other thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good one, Silas. I mean, terrible one, but good.
Thank you.
All right. Who would like to go next? We'll do one more before we take the mid break. Darth Odin. Let's do you. What's your sad story? Deep breath.
So this is kind of like a hard one for, like, I'm trying to figure out which one I want to tell, because there's so many of them that I'm like thinking of at the moment.
And what does your gut say?
My gut is saying when your spouse gets killed in Fallout 4.
The beginning.
The very beginning, and your son gets stolen.
Yeah.
Me as a parent.
Yeah.
Really hit me hard.
Oh, it's hard to watch because you're stuck in the little, you know, cryo chamber, and then they come in and then they open it up and then they go to take the baby away and they don't want to let go of the baby, and then they get shot, and like having to watch that and not be able to do anything about it. I mean, oh my God. Yeah. Any spouse / parent, that's like nightmare fuel. Absolutely. Man. All right. I mean, that one doesn't take much description, but absolutely. Who else is like, yeah, if my spouse went through that or if my child went through that, I would just like, I don't know what I would do. Like, it totally drives the narrative of the game, right? Being that you are a very specific person in a very specific situation. Anybody else want to chime in on this one? Pumpkin's got thoughts again. Go, Pumpkin.
I know I talk a lot. But I do like the thought. It is sad because no matter what, it's always going to be sad when you see someone that either your character or you love be bang shot. But it's one of the, it's the beginning peak in that game where it gives your character a reason to look for your kid and it basically revenge.
Yeah, it sets the stakes. It sets the, you know, like, this world is unforgiving. Somebody can just march in, shoot your spouse, steal your child, and that's what you got
to
deal with.
The game doesn't give you enough time to be upset about it because it just throws you straight into the game and all you think about is, I want to get back.
Yeah.
And that's your main thought.
Right, right. Yeah, and then you continue on, you run into Codsworth, and then you have the whole conversation with Codsworth about, like, this is what just happened, and why are you still here, and yeah, Codsworth, they're not around anymore.
There's also the whole thing of you can bring your companions down there to go and see what happened, mm-hmm. and each one will have something to say.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. Spartan, did you want to chime in?
Yeah, I just was also thinking on the flip side of that, because that whole situation kind of kicks off the player story, but also I kind of like how sad that moment is in Kellogg's story, mm-hmm. because when you think about it, like, he went off the deep end when his family was torn apart and torn from him. And now he's so far down the rabbit hole that he's doing that to you.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not saying that, I mean, clearly the victims there are the player character and the family, but like, I still like that, like, extra twist of the night where it's like, this Kellogg didn't want to be in this position. Kellogg didn't want to be here doing this. Kellogg probably wishes he was with his family, but here he is taking yours because his is gone.
Right. I think this is another one of those things that makes the writing so good, is that the pain we inflict on others is often the same pain we've already felt ourselves. Like, that's also a very human thing. The things that drove us to extremes in our own lives and make us cause harm to other people often are cyclical, right? Like, abuse is an example of that. Man, this is a really dark episode. But, like, typically people who are abusive to their children were abused as children. Like, it's a cycle, right? And the same kind of thing. Somebody who goes down this dark path suffered the very things that they're now inflicting on others. And why it's good to go to therapy. that's you. The more you know of this episode. Boing. All right. Thank you, Darth Odin. This is another very dark topic. I'm going to have to put a warning at the beginning of this that this is going to probably trigger everybody for every possible thing ever. But tell you what, why don't we take a quick break and go thank our patrons. So you guys and everybody else who supports the show. And we'll be back with some more absolutely terrible things in just a little bit.
See another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons. So thank you to everybody who is able to join us for this episode and to anyone else who has helped support the show in the past or currently. We currently have 83 patrons. Thank you to all of you. And we have to shout out Darth Mosin. Darth, thank you so much for your support. Darth was here and then I think disappeared. Something may have disconnected. But huge shout out to you, Darth Mosin, because you are our Liberty Prime. Thank you so very, very much. And also shout outs to our Sentry Bots, Germinator, Larry D, Sky R, and Terrell. Thank you so much for your support and for everybody who supports the show. We don't have any new patrons this week, but if you'd like to join us for future episodes like this or get ad-free episodes or stickers or t-shirts, we're getting close to refreshing the t-shirt designs, everybody. That'll be coming out. I guess the new ones I'll be working on this month, so maybe another 4 or 5 weeks from now. So that'll be fun. So fun stuff for the coming year. And if you're interested in any of that, patreon.com/falloutlorecast is the place to go. Also, if you'd like to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts, that's a wonderful place to do it because it's very useful. And if you leave a 5-star rating, we'll read it out in the future. Plus, you can rate us on Spotify and all sorts of other places. So thank you to everybody for the support. All right, let's get on with the conversation. Here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, we're back. Who would like to go next? We've had a number of people go. Pumpkin, you ready?
So,
Pumpkin's ready to bum us out. Let's do this.
Well, it's two separate encounters in two of the games.
Okay.
One, the first one I'm gonna talk about is actually from 76, and it's a random encounter where you can find a little girl standing next to a grave with a little picture of a cat with a little toy.
Oh no!
Now, what me and my friend discovered this, we're like, oh, this is really sad, but it's like it's not one of those things that really happened. And then my friend went and snatched up the toy and the thing, and the girl goes, put it back.
Oh,
and that's
no.
When we were like, oh my god.
Oh. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Oh,
that one hit us and we were like, oh, I regret everything now.
Oh.
But okay, the second one always hits home for me because it's one of the saddest episodes of an amazing TV show, and it's Seymour the petrified dog in
Futurama.
Lonesome Road.
Futurama? Is this a Futurama thing also, Nova?
Yes, so the random encounter is a reference to one of the saddest episodes of Futurama.
Oh, that's great. I haven't seen every episode of Futurama. It's one of those shows I've kind of watched intermittently.
It talks about the episode is all about Fry's dog from before he was frozen.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. I do remember this. Yes.
Yeah. So, and in New Vegas's Lonesome Road, right before you fight the Tunneler Queen, you can find a petrified dog named Seymour.
Oh man! So your whole topic is sad animals.
Animal stuff. Yes.
Oh no.
So every time, and I always grab Seymour. You can grab Seymour and you can display him in your player home, and I'm always grabbing Seymour. Seymour's the one thing I'm always grabbing.
Oh man, sad pet stuff. Oh, that's gonna, for some reason that hits people harder than sad human stuff sometimes.
the cat one was a recent discovery. That was like less than a month ago.
That's great. What part of the map is that one in?
Well, it's a randomly spawning one.
Oh, really? Really? So it's not like there's a location with a grave?
It's not a specific location.
Okay, I haven't run into it. One. Yeah, that's great.
It was my first time like a month ago just running into it for the first time.
Yeah, some of that stuff you can like sometimes you run into certain ones multiple times through multiple like playing. Yeah, the pipe. Pipe is life. But then sometimes you don't hit, people will talk about a thing like this and then other people will be like, oh yeah, I saw that. And then like, for some reason you're like, well, I never came across that one. That's weird.
But that one was the fact of like, my friend did it. She grabbed it and then it was the put it back. And then both of us just went, oh no.
bummer time. All right. Do you guys have any thoughts on these? Any sad pet feelings?
How dare you bring up Seymour?
Well, it is sad. It's part of the topic. It's appropriate.
Like the Futurama episode is a whole other beast, but like I do vaguely remember coming across it. I was like, oh my god, did they just make a Futurama reference? And just like,
It is a wild wasteland encounter though, so.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. Oh man, I hope we get like wild wasteland stuff for Starfield as like an update sometime. Just like weird, like there's some funny stuff in there, but it'd be really cool to get some really wacky ones.
What, getting like an asteroid Seymour?
Sure. Yeah. Or like, I mean, there's all sorts of fun references you can make.
And what's funny to me is Seymour itself in the Futurama episode is a reference to something that happened in Japan following a real dog that whose owner was a professor, and he took the same train every day, and the dog would go there, wait for him, and then when he came home from the train, he would go home with him. And then one day while the professor was at work, he had a heart attack and passed away.
Yeah.
And never came home, and the dog returned every single day.
Right.
And his name was Hachiko.
Wow, I don't remember the name, but I do remember
there's
that story.
It,
that's
think.
So weird. That's okay. So that was a reference to that. So now we're like two levels deep into the reference chain.
Real meta.
Yeah, we're getting real meta here. Yeah, I remember that story now that you bring that up, Silas. I remember having heard that before. Yeah. I don't know. Dogs are the best. That's a bummer. All right, time to move on from sad pet stories. All right, who else wants to break our hearts? Anybody want to go next? Spartan? Betty? I think it's you two, right? Spartan, you want to go?
Yeah, I can go. I had a couple I was mulling over. I really wanted to talk about Kate, because I know that story has a happy ending, but I think, like, I mean, the road there, there's so, like, I mean, is it a happy ending? Like, I mean, it's better, but like the journey is so, and like, I don't
you're
know.
You're talking
like,
about I, her abuse
I should explain like what yeah. I mean. So what I mean is like, as you're journeying with her and playing with her, she'll divulge stuff that happened to her, not just, you know, where in the combat zone where you met her with the Raiders, but with her parents, you know, with other people she's known, and it never gets better.
Yeah, being,
you
know, sold into slavery.
Yeah,
and all of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And also I have a real like soft spot, like, so I'm from a really rural part of Ohio where addiction is a very big problem. And the way like where it's just that mentality of like, she really wants to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't want to feel the way she feels, but she also is like, is this the only thing even keeping me like alive? Like, can I even get better without completely falling apart? And I thought about that. But then the other one from four, that I think is probably sadder, because Kate can, you know, you can help Kate, is Oswald from Nuka World. Because
yeah magic, the magic guy, right?
You can't, from Kitty Kingdom, because you can't help Oswald. And Oswald is trying to help all of his friends. You know, it's a real found family situation where he was there trapped in Kitty Kingdom with these other employees. Rachel, his friend, or I don't remember if it was his friend or a girlfriend or what, I don't remember exactly, but Rachel went out to find help, and he's been there the entire time protecting all of those ghouls from the Raiders, trying to keep you out, all of this stuff. And you can find her yourself. She's not coming back, you know. Right. she's not.
yeah.
I'm not trying to, but you can find her, and it didn't work, and he's never going to know that, and he's never going to give up. And I think, if just in terms of sadness, that one really breaks me a little bit, because it's just like he's trying to do so much good, and it's just never going to work. Like, right, it's right. it's already done.
Everybody's ghoulified. There's nothing.
Yeah.
To do
yeah.
About it.
It's yeah. already, it's already over. It's yeah. been over for the longest time. And it's just
right.
That one hurt.
Yeah. Both of those are tragic. Back to the Kate thing. I think that ties into abuse and addiction, and the fact that like those kinds of issues, especially early in life, really do a number on you psychologically. Like, you end up having anxiety and all sorts of issues later on in life. And it's only something that you can start mitigating with a lot of help and support from people and actual professional care and all of these things. And without that, they just become these unending suffering parts of who you are. And that also is very tragic, you know. And, you know, a reason, again, go to therapy. Everybody could use therapy. It's, you know, like, even for little things, like, absolutely. So yeah, absolutely tragic stuff. All right, who would like to chime in on this one? Anybody have thoughts? Pumpkin's got thoughts.
So with Oswald, there's also you can actually take the holotape that's on Rachel's body, and you can play it for him, and you can completely bypass the fight. And he goes, well, I have no reason to be here. I'm going to go continue what Rachel was doing.
And yeah, I feel like I went through that one time, like the last time I played through it, I feel like I tried that out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just disappears, so right? He
gives you his hat and his weapon, I think, and then he disappears.
He just, poof, he's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing that it can be a happy quote unquote ending.
But it's still tragic. But it's still sad.
Yeah. He's officially got nobody.
Right.
So
see, and that's why I wish that there was a way to get through the Kitty Kingdom without, you know, killing all the ghouls to get there, you know, because you only realize later on that those are all his friends and you're out there just, you know, murderizing them.
Yeah, you know? Because you have to defend yourself. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it sets you up to be like, to feel guilty, to be like, oh, crap. But also, are they still his friends? Because they're ghouls. They don't know who he is. They just don't attack him. There's a difference, well, right? Like,
I feel like there's been a few times in the series that they've shown that ghouls can, to some rudimentary capacity, understand the ferals, you know?
Yeah, but the ferals don't really have mental capacities the other direction. They just don't attack True. The other ghouls.
Yeah.
Just because they don't attack you doesn't mean they recognize who you are and are friends with you still. They just don't attack him, right? They're already lost. And if you think about it in that way, you're putting them out of their misery because they're basically just living zombies that just kind of go mm-hmm. on, right? So, but you could, I mean, if there's a little shred of humanity left in there somewhere, then yeah, that does become even more tragic. So, yeah, man, dark stuff. All right, Spartan, these were good also. We've got Betty's last. I think you're the last one.
Yes. So mine's a little more general. It's not like a specific like event or anything, but
okay. I
feel like the pit is probably the most depressing DLC to me. Essentially everyone's, you know, enslaved for the rest of their days. You never see the sun. You're exposed to radiation just like everybody else, obviously, but it just seems really intense out there. And you're living in a post-apocalyptic world on top of that. So it's
even really, if you get out, what else is there? Right.
Yeah. At least you see the sun maybe.
Yeah.
And you have a little freedom and you're not, treated as inhumane. And, you know, I never feel good doing that DLC. I don't really, it's not my favorite and it doesn't make me feel good. And, just the circumstances are so horrific to me.
Yeah. I remember when it came out and a lot of the reviews were like, wow, this really went dark. Like they were like, this DLC is a step in a very dark direction and be ready when you get into it. I also think that there's kind of obviously a commentary on slavery that happens a lot in these games, but also a commentary on like the Industrial Revolution and the idea that like children were sent into mines and didn't see the sun because they worked 12 to 16 hour shifts or whatever, you know, monstrosity of a situation we had until all of a sudden we had unions and the ability to get out of that. But there were a lot of people historically, and you see the similar kind of things with the mining in Fallout 76, like the miners, and then they were being replaced by machines. But that idea of using human beings throughout so much of history as tools to get a thing done rather than as people, and then,
yes,
you know, how that comes back in this situation. Yeah, it's a dark reminder of what humans are capable of when, you know, things get taken too far. Absolutely.
Exactly. And the fact that in that DLC, I think you can eat the baby or you can steal the baby. Wait, you can't eat the baby.
Pumpkin wants talk.
Okay. The eating the baby thing in that DLC is a Mandela effect. It's actually a mod.
Is it a mod?
The baby, yeah.
Because I don't remember that part.
It's a mod to eat the baby.
Okay.
So you can kidnap the baby to give it to the, you know, the slaves to help them with their, but there's a mod to, yeah.
To eat the baby. Like that cannibal perk allows you to eat it. People,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel like sometimes they push the boundaries on, like, oh, that's kind of gross, but like eating a baby, I don't think is one of the ones that they would have put in the actual base game. But I'm sure somebody has modded worse stuff, so there's that. Anybody else want to chime in about this one? Pumpkin, you have other thoughts?
So yeah, so besides the eating the baby thing, there, it's also the thought of they're having to live in, they're basically, they have the thought of they're going to eventually turn into a trog.
Right.
They in their head that's what they have to look forward to.
Oh God. Yeah, it's so dark.
And then you get to see, like, right firsthand when you first go into the steel yard, that there was another person out there who's pretty sure he's seen his, like, who had, like, his sibling or something. And then it ends up killing him.
Yeah. Yeah. Nova, did you want to chime in?
Well, I was going to say, it's not everybody who turns into trogs. It's some people only get lesions and in like war and like boils on their body, while other people get the mental degeneration, the troglodyte disease. And so it affects people differently. Like 50% of the people only get lesions and stuff, while the other people just become like worse than ghouls, basically.
That's great. And he has a baby. Sounds like a great situation. Sorry, did you have more to say? I'm just being sarcastic.
Oh no, I was done. Yeah. I was done. So, yeah. So it's, you know, it's not just total despair. Otherwise, I think if everybody were to become trogs, there wouldn't be anybody left inside the city or inside the ruins. Even if they kept bringing in slaves, eventually the slavers would all be wiped out by the just becoming trogs. And so all people who are alive in the city, or at least all the people who are in the higher class, the scaffolding, whatever they call it, uptown, I think, they're not becoming trogs. They're just disgusting.
Right. Right.
It's the best way to put it, really.
Neither situation is good, but one of them is a little bit better than the other.
Like I said, it's more of like them. They think that's what's going to be in their head is that's what I have to look forward to.
Yeah, it's pretty, the whole situation is just dark. So absolutely. Wow. Well, you all have done a wonderful job bumming everybody out who's listening to this podcast this week. I appreciate it. I appreciate the time and the real human feelings. I want to follow this up real quick. Did you actually have a situation at all? Because I titled this in the Twitch chat, Moments That Made Us Cry. Did you actually have a situation where you actually shed tears? Have any of you been like, yes, actually, yeah, I was super bummed out. Okay, I'm seeing a few hands raised. We don't need to go into details, but I just, like, I think that's kind of interesting that, like, that's the power of these games, like role-playing in this world and seeing these situations. And obviously, they make us laugh sometimes, and we get stories to tell that we want to talk about on podcasts together, but sometimes things are just super, super sad. So, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, it's time to wrap up the episode. We're going to go back through. Feel free to share something you're working on or stuff you want to shout out. Or otherwise, you can just say, hey, thanks for being here or whatever. I'm going to go through in the order of the people on the screen. Lil Green, you're up first. How's photography going?
I've been actually going through a pole dancing event that I photographed last night.
Okay.
And I got a bunch of other stuff coming up. I got a couple shoots that I'm going to be hopefully posting in the next week or two. So, yeah, no. If you want to check out my work, just look me up on Instagram, lilgreen_photography. Or if you have any random questions, apparently that's still happening, you could find me on the Discord. I think my name's just Lil Green on there.
Yeah, or you could be like Pumpkin King here and send him friend requests on consoles.
That'll take me 3 months to get to because I don't know how to work the PS5 interface.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Go check out Lil Green stuff. Thanks, Lil Green. Pumpkin, you're up next. You got anything going on you want to share?
Well, I have my Twitter, which is the Pumpkin the, which is the, it's one, the one is the I is a one and the E is a 3. Sorry, brain is a bit weird right now.
It's all right.
And then, of course, I've got my responders group that I'm trying to get together. So if you're on PlayStation and are into that sort of responders role play stuff, just hit me up.
Yeah, tag them on the Discord, and then you guys can all get together. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again. Darth Odin. Darth, you got anything you want to share?
So currently I've been doing, like, for this week, I've been doing a live stream challenge, 30 hours of gaming to stop soldier suicide.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. So if you want to follow me on Twitch, it's Odin the Hooded One 93. And then, I don't think I got anything else going on.
Well, that's cool. That's a really nice cause. That's great. I hope you're
enjoying some ESO and
awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again. Yeah, good luck with that, and I hope you raise a lot of money. That's awesome. Spartan, AK Spartan.
Yeah, I don't have a ton right now. I remember last month I had said I was probably going to start streaming soon. That is still in the works. I actually am going to wait a little bit longer just because I have a new coworker that I've been working with that he and I have been talking about doing some Elden Ring streams together and then possibly actually a YouTube channel with that. So I want to take a little bit longer to throw some seasoning on some of that stuff because I don't know. But there is a chance. I have Tuesdays. I don't go into work until 8 p.m. I work pretty much every other afternoon. So it's looking like for me, at least, Tuesdays are going to be my streaming day when I get that going. But I'm pretty much just working and planning out stuff like that. So if anybody wants to play Elden Ring, because I've got some ideas with some Elden Ring stuff going on, I'm going to be diving back in a lot, doing some research and stuff like that. So if anybody wants to play, or if anybody has, like, hey, this is some cool lore that this, or a YouTube channel that, you know, is like obscure, hit me up with it, because I'm awesome. I'm looking into all that stuff right now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The archaeologist, the, Tarnished Archaeologist channel.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That one's real good. I like that content, absolutely. And there's rumor that the new DLC is actually coming out sooner than we might think. So
I saw that today.
That's fun too. Yeah, dude. Awesome. Well, good luck with all that. That sounds great.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, Nova. Nova, you're up next.
Hello. I thank you for having me on the stream. First of all, it's always lovely to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I give you $50 a month.
Thanks for the support. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's no problem at all. Yeah. So I was on the Starfield lore cast like 2 days ago, I think, something like that.
Yeah, that goes up on Friday for everybody. So
if
you want to hear Nova on the Starfield lore cast and a bunch of other people, we're all talking Starfield stuff. Go check that out. Thanks for joining me on there, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's always a pleasure. I have my own YouTube channel. It is Supernova, capital S, capital N, 0, capital V, capital A. Look for the golden retriever icon. I am currently working on a few videos. They go very slowly because I work full time and YouTube is just a fun little thing I do on the side. So don't expect regular uploads from me. It is just, hey, I feel like doing this right now, so I'm going to do it, I guess. Nice. Next video is going to be about the Mad Scientists of America, and then following up immediately with that with the Sunset Sarsaparilla story. So,
oh, cool.
I already written both of those out. I'm just trying to record the actual audio in the video. So that's basically what I've been doing. Oh, and today I went to a school with a therapy dog and got to hang out with a bunch of special education classroom kids. So that was a lot of fun. I couldn't take pictures though, because that's kind of illegal. But I just thought I'd mention okay. it though.
All right. Well, we'll take your word on it.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Awesome. Well, good luck with everything.
Yeah, Keto got a bunch of stuffy animals from the kids. He was in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
That's the dog's name, Keto.
Keto. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Well, thanks for being here and good luck with everything. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
All right, Betty, you're up next. You got anything you want to share?
Hey, I know this is a Fallout lore cast, but I've been playing a lot of... I just finished Knights of the Nine.
Okay.
I really like... I haven't done it before until now, so really enjoyed that. But that's about it.
Yeah, it's classic stuff. It's always good to go back to those games, you know? So, all right, well, thank you for joining us. And then we've got Silas wrapping it up for us. Silas, you got anything you want to share?
Not a whole lot. I've been working on my pottery, which is great, because I finally got that set up. And then I'm listening to the Elder Scrolls lorecast, and I'm about a year behind right now, but right now you're doing Skyrim with my mom,
And I'm really enjoying listening to that.
Those videos are up on YouTube also, if ever you want to see them while yeah, instead of just listen to them. Yes, yeah, they are. I don't know if they got transferred to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast channel, if they're up on the Robots Radio one, but they're, if you search Skyrim with my mom, I bet it's going to show up, because I don't think anybody else has a series named that.
But I've been listening to it, and it's got me thinking I want to do something similar with my partner.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fun.
They're interested in things that I'm interested in, but not the best at games. So I was thinking that'd be a good way to. But your Skyrim with my mom has definitely inspired the idea for that. So I'll hopefully do that at some point.
Awesome. Yeah, you can do it with Fallout also. Like, if somebody's not good with a controller or playing a game, you can do the fighting, but still let them decide, like, where do we go next, who do we talk to, what do we say, and then it's fun because you know what you're going to decide and you know how the story plays out, but you don't tell them, and then you just see what they decide and where it goes, and it always ends up somewhere completely different than what you were planning to do. So it is a lot of fun. So awesome. Well, I hope you have some fun with that, and thanks again for being here.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, everybody, this has been great. Thank you again for joining me. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Of course, you guys know where my stuff is, robotsradio.net. You can check out all the different shows I do. We're doing patron chats on Starfield Lorecast. So we'll be talking about our experiences there. And of course, there's Elder Scrolls and there's Lord of the Rings and all sorts of other stuff. So go check that stuff out if you're looking for more content. Thank you for being here. And I'll be back next week with probably a regular episode, although we're getting into Spooktober and I always like to do some spooky episodes in Spooktober, so maybe I'll come up with something extra fun, but we'll find out. All right, everybody, see you next time. Stay safe out there. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.